on the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slide, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Troy University women's head basketball coach Shanda Rigby on the show tonight. Thank you. First of all, just thank you for coming on the show tonight, Coach.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, I'm over here in Troy, Alabama, feeling good. I know you guys are Mardi Gras-ing it over there, and normally I would be, but we've got all of our attention focused in on trying to win the next ball game. So that's what we're doing in Troy.
Well, we are. I know it's a busy time. We know that you guys are locked in for a really fantastic finish in this conference, especially between the top two teams. But before we get all to that, I'd love to just hear about your career. You spent, almost 10 years in the junior college ranks. Can you kind of give a little insight into I guess, your experience from coaching the junior college ranks?
Yeah, well, a big part of my heart is in the junior college ranks. Now, before I was a junior college coach, I was a high school English teacher and a high school coach for 12 years. So, I fought and clawed after winning a couple state championships and finishing up my master's degree. I fought and clawed and got rejected by about 40 schools to try to get on the college level. But I finally did. But, yeah, so junior college was kind of the middle part of, I guess you'd say, of my career. And it's a very special time in my life because I feel like I did the most important work at junior college. Most of the kids that I coached there probably wouldn't have gone on to college without basketball and without a basketball scholarship and without all the resources that come along with being a basketball player in college. We had 100% graduation rate while I was a junior college coach. I'm really proud of that, and I'm proud of where they went on and played and finished up and got their degrees. But, yeah, in the Panhandle Conference there in Florida, that's usually regarded as the number one junior college league in the nation, and it's kind of a league of there's lots of SEC, ACC, Power 5 players that for one reason or another needed to step back from that school for a while or maybe from their opportunity there and go junior college for a while. So you're dealing with high level athletes that need a lot of attention off the court. And it was an important work, I believe, that I did there, and it was a calling. And I did it the best of my ability, and that's what propelled me to get a Division I opportunity at Troy.
Well, we're talking about the junior colleges right now, and obviously there's a big Netflix show, obviously, and Last Chance U, that focuses on football. I mean, I think you kind of alluded to it a little bit in the first answer to it of the challenges. Is that kind of the same case for you as a coach, as a women's basketball coach?
Well, yeah. In my case, there's a lot less cussing going on than Last Chance U, but a lot of the same things, I think on Last Chance U, they had the infamous tutor, the academic counselor. Well, at junior college, I was, basically I was their weight trainer, I was their tutor, but that was the most important work we did. Before I got there, I was a high school coach. A high school teacher. I was an English teacher. I taught a lot of different subjects, actually, and that served me very well in that position because a lot of the players, after about the second or third year, I was at Pensacola, and I figured out you better go get the best players out there possible. A lot of them were second-chance kids. Maybe they'd have been at, a high-major Division I and, again, maybe got sent to play junior college. But, most of my work was done. I just remember the very small room with no windows that we did all the tutoring in, and I was basically their tutor then. It's not really – It's a violation to do that now, really, and at Division I level. So I had to step back from that. We have other people that do that. But at the junior college level, that's how I got so close to my players. And the last 2 years I was at junior college, the last year we went 33-0, and I think the year before we had some great, really good record. And I attribute that to, first of all, we did go get the best players out there that we could get. But next of all, just the work I did with them outside of on the court, in their lives and in their academics. I mean, they wanted to play for me because we accomplished so much in other areas of their lives other than just basketball.
I love the Last Chance You show, and it's kind of, it's shown kids that this is their last opportunity. Is there a better feeling when you see one of your players, somebody that was, I mean, they were either one foot out the door of they don't have a career or they still have a chance. What was that like as a coach when you saw, you know, maybe a particular player that did end up thriving?
Well, it's an amazing feeling, and there's been nothing else to compare to that in my entire career, in my life. In fact, the dynamic of a first-generation college student, a student who is the first in their family to go to college, I'm so enthralled with that concept, and I believe there's such an important work to be done there, and I was able to do that, and I'm still doing that in the majority of my student-athletes' lives. A lot of my players are first-generation, first in their family to go to college. I was so enthralled with that. I went back to college, and anyway, I got my doctorate degree, and that's what my dissertation was in, is in the impact that you know, an individual can have in a first-generation college student. I mean, somebody coming along beside them like a coach can make them or break them. A lot of times, if they didn't grow up hearing words like the bursar's office or the syllabus or things like that, they didn't grow up with all that. They didn't grow up with a persona that I'm supposed to go to college and I belong there. They need somebody to come along beside them and be so much to them, their cheerleader, their tutor, their encourager, you know, their truth sayer. And so really at the junior college level, even more than a coach, that's what I was to my players. And you say, talk about last chance you, I mean, they didn't always come in there believing it was their last chance, but I could see it. Like, I could see, like, you need to get this college degree. You need to use basketball to propel you to a better life, and then it can spread to your younger brothers and sisters and everybody else. And it was almost like it was a very dire sense of urgency I had for my players coming in. Like, you've got to make this work. You've got to get this degree. You've got to use basketball to do bigger things in your life than just an orange ball going through an orange hoop.
Let's transition to Troy now. Your career here, you still have some great connections at some of these junior colleges, and you guys have taken kids out of high school, but you seem to always kind of grab one or two JUCO, you know, players. What is that kind of like for a player that comes in maybe with only 2 years of eligibility compared to a high school player that's got all 4 years left, maybe even five?
Right. Well, I mean, let's face it, the junior college transfer has been my bread and butter so far here at Troy. I've had some good high school players as well, and we signed five this year, which is unusual for us. But really the bread and butter has been the junior college kid. And I probably got a lot of criticism maybe when I first got here for recruiting so many junior college kids. But then again, I don't know of another team in the nation that had such a quick turnaround. We were second to the last in the nation when I got here in RPI and when my staff and I got here. And we were able to turn around really quickly and, you know, just have had multiple 20-win seasons and NCAA tournament appearances and things like that. And it's because, you know, I leaned on the junior college connections, not only the wonderful connections I have with the coaches that are coaching junior college, but just the skill set I have. I do believe that if there's a junior college player out there, I think that, I do believe I'm the best pick for them to go play for, because I have that experience and I understand the urgency of you can't make a wrong decision. You've already been in junior college. For many of them, they transferred from a four-year college to a junior college. They can't make a wrong decision. They've got to get it right. They've got to get a coach that's going to stick with them through thick and thin, who understands maybe some of the nonverbal language that goes on with some of these transfers when they first get there. There's usually a time of friction and adjustment that you know, it can't be a my way or the highway attitude with a coach. It's got to be, we're going to make this work no matter what. And you know, I've been able to understand that and be successful with it. And that propelled us to a lot of success really early, and I'm very thankful for it.
I don't want you to give all your recruiting your secrets away, but whenever you recruit these kids out of junior college, and do you kind of expect more when they get here day one because of they aren't coming straight from high school, they're playing from a junior college rank. Are you kind of expecting more of them when they get in there?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Alexis Dye, she's just player of the week this week in the Sunbelt Conference. She transferred last year from Gulf Coast Community College. I mean, well, we had actually recruited her out of high school. She needed to go to junior college. She went to Gulf Coast. They won a national championship. She actually was chosen to be the national MVP of the national tournament. So she comes in here. How in the world would you ever, how could you ever go recruit a high school player that could come in here and come to Troy and play at a higher level than her? She's played 2 years under probably one of the best junior, one of the best coaches in the nation, not to even mention junior college coach in the nation, but under Rooney Scovel at Gulf Coast. And she's won a national championship and been MVP of the nation. I mean, it's hard to find a high school player that could come in here. And I do have higher expectations for those players. They're battle tested. They've been in the fire. They've been held to a college level of, you know, of, you know, expectations. And yes, we don't find a junior college player to come sit on the bench, period.
Okay. So let's start talking about this year's team. You know, what has been the difference? I mean, to me, looking at just the score, it's that defense. And I'd love to know what has changed, I guess, this year compared to the last several years of I guess your coaching. Has it changed before? Or
we've
kind of
changed some things up. We have definitely changed some things up. So when I got to Troy, again, we were the second. I said we were second to last in nation RPI, but we were also second to last in scoring. We really scored low points. Chancellor Jack Hawkins here at Troy was building a brand new arena, Trojan Arena, and he was interviewing coaches to come take this job. I had zero Division I experience. I think I'm the only person they interviewed that had no Division I experience. I was had been a junior college and a high school coach, and he was like, you know, we need this to be exciting. And I'm like, well, look, I can make it exciting before we get good. It's going to take me a little bit of recruiting to get really good, but I can make it exciting. And that's one thing we talked about is how you're going to do that. And I had a system called 15 points in 5 minutes, which is the first day of practice before we teach any offense or defense or how to run a fast break. We just throw the ball up and divide up the two teams and put 5 minutes on the clock, throw the ball up, and try to get them to score 15 points in 5 minutes. And if they don't score 15, we run whatever, maybe a time suicide for what we get under 15. And then we try it again until they figure out, you know, how to score 15 points in 5 minutes with each other. You know, they value the free throws as the clock stop. They learn to value the offensive rebounds because it's right there by the goal. They can score quickly. And so if you do the math, 15 points in 5 minutes, if you did that throughout the course of a game, you'd score 120 points in a game. So that has been my take. We strive every game to score 120 points. So when we've led the Sun Belt every year. We've been here for 8 years. We've led the Sun Belt every year in scoring. We led the nation 2 years since I've been here in scoring. I think we're in the top 10 now in scoring. So that's our philosophy. Like the idea, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you might land among some stars. We're trying to score 120 points. We've averaged over 80 every year since I've been here, you know, and we averaged less than 50 the year before we got here. So, you see, that's our philosophy, is scoring lots and lots of points, scoring, setting a really high goal and scoring lots of points. Well, you know what? We got in some battles last year where we scored 100 points and still lost a basketball game. And my assistants were like, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. If we're scoring 100 points, 105 points in a basketball game, we should be winning the game, right? And we look at the national records. We lead the nation in rebounding. We were leading the nation in scoring. But we were also leading the nation in points given up and fouling the other team. So I'm going to give total credit to my assistant coaches because, you know, they said, wait a minute now, we're going to get our players playing some defense. And they totally revamp what we're doing on defense. We make a lot less mistakes on defense. It's a lot harder to score on us now than it used to be. We do not foul not even a fraction as much as we used to. So it has slowed our game down a bit, and I hate that very much. But on the other hand, I'm very appreciative because we don't have to score 120 points to win a game. We don't have to score 90 points to win a game anymore. You know, we can score our 80 points or 82 points tonight, and get down and play defense and play defense well enough to win a game.
You guys just had your senior day. You had five really good seniors that were there on the court. What have those seniors kind of meant to your program?
Well, those are some really good seniors, and we're really going to miss them. Some of those seniors are high major Division I players, and you know, just for the junior college reason or for whatever the transfer reason, we ended up getting them. But we've always been about raising expectations here and raising what we want to do and doing things that have never been done before. But this group has really helped us do that. We have three that have been here since they were freshmen. We had them all 3 years, and then two that transferred in, one from Tallahassee Community College. She had won a national championship at Tallahassee, Japonica James from Mobile, Alabama. And then Caitlin Rogers, she's from Winona, Alabama, but she transferred in from Ole Miss. So what a special group. They're really, really, really good athletes and good basketball players. And, you know, they've learned so much off the court about bringing a team together and putting the team first and all those things. I mean, it's just really fun right now. I mean, just really hoping that they reach the goals that they set for themselves.
Yeah, you guys are sitting at 22 wins right now, which is, I think, tied for the most in a regular season for you as a coach at Troy. You got three games left. I mean, what do you keep track of stuff like that as a coach? You know, I might get the most wins this year, or is that something that at the end of the year you kind of look back on?
Well, we are always striving to do things that haven't been done before. That's part of our MO is, you know, so I mean, we're not really counting games saying it's the most I've ever won, but you know, we're trying to do things that haven't been done before. We're still trying to score our 120 points. We're still trying to win an outright Sun Belt Conference Championship because we haven't done that before. We've won the tournament championship twice and gotten to go to the NCAA tournament, but we haven't had the discipline night in and night out to win the grind of a season long championship. So that's what we're striving for right now. And then our next goal is to win the Sun Belt tournament championship, because that's basically the only way you're guaranteed to go to the NCAA tournament. And then the difference is, instead of just saying, you know, we're just glad to be in the tournament, that's what we did the last 2 years. We were so excited just to be in the NCAA tournament. We want to get in there and make a run in the tournament. So this will be a great year to do it, but that's the goal of our program. We have a lot of great teams that want to do the same thing, I'm sure, that we're coming up against. But that's what our sights are on, and trying to do really special things. That, I mean, the way we put it over here is we want to do things that nobody could really account for if God were in our program. We have a big God. We make big plans. We make big goals, and that's what we're striving for.
You know, you talked about Alexis Dye a little earlier in this interview, and she obviously had an incredible week. I mean, she was a baller before she got here, it sounds like. And I mean, I didn't follow much of her at JUCO ranks, but ever since she stepped that basically foot on Troy, you could tell that, okay, this is a player right here. What has been the biggest development of her game, you know, this year that has, I mean, led to games where she's doing double doubles like this?
Well, Alexis is extremely special. Those double doubles have come almost effortlessly, and she's done them in 23 minutes. She's averaging only 23 minutes a game. So the best of her is in front of us, but, she came from one of the best coaches in the nation, Rooney Scovel at Gulf Coast. She learned a lot there. She was pushed really hard there. For us, Coach Graff, my associate head coach, is her position coach. So she teaches her things every day as far as, you know, scoring around the basket and this and that. But as far as the rebounding and all, I mean, let's face it, she just has a knack and a gift for it. And really, it's our job as coaches is just helping her be in her groove. I mean, helping her feel relaxed and confident. You know, making, you know, her grades are important to her. You know, she wants, I don't think she could go have a great game if things were off in her classes. So, you know, making sure she's got the tutors and things she needs, and making sure she's confident in every area of her life, just getting her in a good groove. She's just a really good basketball player, and she's going to go have big games.
You know, I you just mentioned, for some reason it didn't click before, but rebounds. And I know there's been a couple stories done, because whenever I catch a Troy game on ESPN, the away announcers always just seem to be shocked by how, you know, the average that you guys have for rebounds a game. And I know a lot of people have done the, but I got to ask you, the art of the rebound in Shando Rigby's eyes. How do you explain? You guys are averaging 50 something rebounds a game. How can you explain that to some people?
So Colin, listen to this. We just added it up. We got 136 rebounds in the two games this week. Like I know that's got to be a record somewhere somehow. You know, it's 136 rebounds in two games. That's really incredible, and I'm so proud of the team. But rebounding is something we stress. It's probably stressed more than anything else because, first of all, we recruit for it. And next of all, every single day we track it at practice. There, high rebounders are rewarded every day, you know, at practice. And positive attention is brought to them every day at practice. But, you know, in our system, we don't wait for the best shot. We take the first shot. I get a lot of criticism for that because a lot of people say, oh, it's exciting basketball, but it's not good basketball, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we take the first shot. We shoot a lot of shots. We strive to shoot 100 times in a game. So even if you do have great shooters, when you shoot that many shots, the rebound becomes really valuable, really valuable. Because if not, then it's just like a turnover, right? When you shoot it, it's not, it doesn't go in. It's like a turnover. The other team gets it. It's the same result as the turnover. So we have to have the rebound. We have to have the rebound, and I would say that is something that's the mentality we strive harder for more than anything else in our program. It more than any other aspect of the game is rebounding. That's what's emphasized in our practices.
You know, you've been coaching at Troy for 7 or 8 years now, and there's been a lot of development. There's been a lot of change in women's basketball, and particularly in the Sun Belt. But for you as a coach, what has changed about the Sun Belt from year one to year eight?
Well, the league is scoring a lot more points now. You know, when we got in the league, it was about a 60, you could win at 60 points a night, you know, 59, 58, 62 points is about average. Now, you know, people are scoring in the 70s and upper 70s. You know, it's a faster game. You know, when I got here, this league was run by, several male coaches. It was the coach who's at Middle Tennessee. They were in the league then. And then you got Joe Foley at Little Rock, who's kind of the godfather of the league. And Brian Boyer was Arkansas State. Those guys were winning the championships year in and year out. And like I told Jada last time, I said, you know, when we were playing for our last game that had, you know, championship implications in that game from Coastal Carolina, I was like, you know, look at us, you know, here we are, you know, and, you know, I'm proud of us. It's, you know, it's kind of, Not that everything's changed, because Joe Foley's still in here fighting for championships, and he's still, I would say, the godfather of the league. But, but you know, then there's, you know, there's kind of new blood and different directions in the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah, we're getting close to March Madness here. I guess the first question is do you participate in brackets? I mean, is that something? I think we talked to Coach Fowler last year about this. He's like, I coach too much of it. Do you ever fill out your own bracket?
No, I do not. I mean, I have one bracket. I have one women's basketball bracket. It's on my bulletin board behind my computer in my office, and the only thing it has is the last team standing is Troy. That's the only bracket I fill out. So, I mean, I don't fill out any of the other ones. It's just Troy in the end. And, you know, one day, one way or another, we're going to be there. So, you know, trying to make a run this year.
You know, we've got three games left. What's the thing you're stressing the most to the most to your team?
Well, we brought our seniors in today and just talked to them about this is upset week. I mean, look at what already happened on Sunday. Alabama upset Mississippi State. You know, so many upsets are happening, and you know, the teams that have had a streak of winning, they're in a lot of danger because the other teams are fighting for positions in tournaments and this and that, and you know, we're fighting against complacency, and I don't even think that's a word that describes my team now. They do not seem complacent, but as coaches, I think that we've got to talk to them about it. Like, a lot of people are going to be upset, you know, get upset a lot. You know, we have been in the win column for quite a while now. You know, we're 22-4, and
what we want to stress is, starting today, Monday, we want to be the most improved Sunbelt Conference team between now and the Sunbelt Tournament. We want to be the most improved team. We want to forget about our record. We want to forget about anybody else's record. We just want to improve the most from today until the Sunbelt Conference Tournament Championship Day. That's what we want to do.
Great vision right there. You know, is there? We asked Coach Williams this last week if she could avoid any teams. She said, to be honest with you, with how good everybody is, I kind of want to avoid everybody. Can we just get to the championship game? Is there any team, or is there a team that you're itching to play? I mean, whether it's first round or championship game, when we're talking Sun Belt Conference here, is there any team that you're avoiding or really wanting to play?
Well, every team, I know it sounds cliche, but every team is going to be a bear to play down the stretch. I mean, these coaches are no joke. Their players are really good and competitive. But, of course, the high-scoring games we've had with Coastal Carolina, that's what I love. And I know we didn't come out on the right, you know, on the winning end of that last time. We beat them the first time, and they beat us the second time. But to me, that's what's great for women's basketball. When you look, I mean, heck, the game made ESPN. It wasn't really for good reasons on my end. She had a player that scored 51 points on us. But you know, I respect that. I respect that, you know, that's what's got to move the game forward. You know, it's high-scoring games, excitement, wowing people. That's what's going to improve our game. So, yeah, I would love to play Coastal again.
So you would be definitely a Troy Coastal Part 3. For the championship?
Yeah, why not?
Well, awesome. Well, Coach, well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And obviously, we're going to be watching you. And I don't want to call it a two-dog race at this point, but it's getting to be that way. And so we'll definitely be watching you guys and Coach over the next.
There will certainly be a dark horse come out of Sunbelt. It is every year. And every year, you know, there's somebody, and last year it was South Alabama that came out, and that's who we played this week, so that's the only team we're really worried about. But, yeah, it should be exciting, and we thank you for covering the Sunbelt Conference. It's a great conference, and we hope to just gain many more, you know, fans from your podcast, where they hear from us. So I heard Jada's interview was great, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much, Coach. We hope you have a good one.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, Thomas here. A couple of quick housekeeping things before we go. First of all, we are not going to be recording that first week of March. We're going to be taking a week off. We will be back the next week, however, with all of the combine, all of the March Madness, all of the college baseball updates you can handle. And in the meantime, you know the drill. Follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. If you like what you hear right here, hit that subscribe button. We are everywhere you can find your favorite podcast, so go ahead and recommend us to a friend. You know, this is the part where normally Colin goes, hey man, you got anything else? And I'd be like, no, I don't really have anything else. That's because I don't have anything else. I let him do the interview, so I'm going to take it from here. Y'all come on back.